we think this morning of all the wonderful rewards and blessings you give to us even while we're here, Lord, on this earth. When we celebrate this time together, this is a reward from you that we can come together as your people and rejoice together and worship you and learn from one another. And God, we praise you today that Rose is sitting with us. And that is a praise item. And God, we thank you for her and for what you've done in her life. And we pray continued healing upon her, Lord. And we lift her to you. And be with Dawn and the rest of the family as well. And Lord, we just thank you that we can be an encouragement to one another even as we walk through struggles and difficulties. And so, Father, we pray for each other. And that's what you've called us to do. And so we just praise you today for Rose. We lift up before you Inga and Ken and Nestor and Bruce, Murray and Hertha and Jenny and Nathan and Lori. And Father, you know each and every situation. You know every family member involved. And you know what is required, Lord. And we just pray that you bring whatever healing is necessary to each of these individuals. And Father, we just pray your blessing upon them and their families. Encourage for them. And we think, Lord, that as we've just announced today, we think of Jeff, and we pray for healing upon him, too. And Father, we thank you for his leadership, and we thank you for how you use the George family in so many ways to minister effectively at the Quest. And so we praise you, Father, for this past week, for the great family camp that we've had. And Lord, but we pray continued blessing upon the Georges, especially now with Jeff's finger. Lord, we think of the Vickers family, and Lord, they are suffering a great loss. Lord, Don's mom, as well as Mac's father. And Father, we lift them to you and pray your blessing upon them. And as they walk through these next few weeks, Lord, we pray that you give them strength, comfort, and peace. And may they know without a doubt that you are right there with them and that we are there with them as well, God. And we pray your blessing and peace upon them. Father, we continue to pray for all the camp ministry that goes on through the summer. As well, we lift again the Quest to you and pray, Father, for your protection upon the camp and upon the staff. And, Lord, we pray for continued unity there and for many who, Lord, need to just walk closer to you. And so we pray, Father, that these next couple weeks as camp finishes, that you give it a good finish. And may you be glorified in all that is said and done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And thank you, worship team. It's great this morning. You had a full plate there, Andy. It's great. You did well. It's excellent. My brother, in 1976, my mother, father, myself, and my and brother closest to me, 6 years older than me, we were traveling throughout the East Coast to God's country, right, Jeff? And so we were in New Brunswick, which is even better. And we were spending some time just visiting relatives and friends. And we were at my aunt's house in New Brunswick. And all of a sudden, my older brother and his new wife were babysitting the house for mom and dad while we were in New Brunswick. And so this phone call comes to my aunt's home with a shriek on the end. And so my mother took the phone and she listened. And while she was listening, I was just young at the time. Remember, it was 1976, so I was very, very small. but I remember that my mom started to laugh almost hysterically. And I thought, what's so funny? Why is mom laughing? She's laughing to the point where tears were rolling down her face. Why? What's so funny? So she gets off I can hear her saying, well, just, I don't know, I'll let your dad talk to you. So she hands it over to my dad, and he goes, what's the problem, son? And then again, my dad starts going, okay, go into the work area. Yeah, the work area. Yeah, and just, okay, I'll hold. Okay, you went into the work area? Yeah. Now I want to tell you what to get from the work area. A 2x4. Yeah, that's right. Then come back to the phone. Okay, you got it? Okay, kill the spider with the 2x4. My brother goes down the stairs. He was doing the loving thing as any husband would do to check the laundry. And as he was doing this, he checked in the laundry, laundry was still washing, so he knew he didn't have any more to do. So as he was coming up the stairs, there was this, he says, it's larger than a tarantula. And, it was probably like this big, but, and he's trying, and he couldn't get up the stairs, and he just stood in fright, and he didn't know what to do, and he called his wife, Kathy! Kathy! And she comes, and he says, there's this huge, gigantic spider, and it's here, and I don't know what to do. But she stood at the top of the stairs laughing hysterically. So he quickly called out, get Mom and Dad's number! Get Aunt Gertrude's number! I got a call! And so he phones from the basement phone, and there was no cordless phone. So he's running back and forth. He got this 2x4. By the way, he didn't kill the spider. His wife came down the stairs and killed the spider for him. We warned his second wife about that. Anyway, have you ever felt afraid of something? Have you ever felt like you were just gonna lose your mind? Fear torments. It comes against your mind first, and after, it affects your thoughts. It affects your emotions. It affects everything about you. The Bible, there's a verse that we all know in the Bible that says that the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear. A spirit of fear. But of power and love and a sound mind. So if God said, I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but a sound mind, then fear must have some kind of adverse effect on our mind that God doesn't want it to have. And sometimes we feel that we're just losing it. Look at this Pickles cartoon. I love Pickles, so. Son, let me tell you how tough things were when I was your age. They were, darn tough. Next one. Grandpa doesn't seem to be trying very hard anymore. Start to lose your mind. Fear is a very powerful, hindering, debilitating spirit. Fear will just block your creativity and your belief. Fear will keep you in the same place all your life and prevent you from ever stepping out into anything new. Fear, being hurt, will keep you out of relationships and away from intimacy. There are so many kinds of fear that probably we could spend less time talking about what people aren't afraid of rather than make a list of what people are afraid of. I know one is public speaking. You saw lots of it today. I want to discuss today about overpowering fear. We live life and we fear so many aspects of it. So today's a new day for you. Let's just jump in. You can turn to Isaiah chapter 41 that was read for you. And look with me as we overpower fear together. Now, Mandy read this. I don't need to read it, but I will refer to it. Overpowering fear, first of all, believe God is with you. If you look at chapter 41, verse 10, so do not fear, for God says, for I am with you. Not I will be with you, not I, if you call me, I'll come. He says, I am with you. So, overpowering fear, you got to first believe God is with you. The first part of our fear removal is to believe God is with you. He says that, right? He says it right there. He says, I'm with you, fear not. And this is not just an isolated case in Scripture. This is not just one occurrence in Scripture. First John chapter 4:18, the Bible says, perfect love. Perfect love casts out all fear, for fear has torment. Well, what is that? What does perfect love mean? Perfect love. Perfect love. It means if we can ever come to a full understanding of how much of how perfectly and how completely and how unconditionally God loves us, then surely if he loves us that much, then surely he's going to take care of us. And you saw, as many read this morning, you saw how God is taking care of our mission team in Belize. You heard, Rose is here this morning. You heard Murray last Sunday talk about how God takes care of us, right? God has a providential plan for all of our lives. And he's not just to walk away from you. You may walk away from him, but he'll never walk away. He will certainly never walk away from you. Never. Isn't that good news? You see, providential, when I say the word providential, it means it has been planned for a long time. God has a plan to take care of his people. If you study the Bible, you'll see this. You walk through it. The Israelites, they're in the wilderness. God took care of them. They got themselves in all kinds of places, situations, but God always took care of them. They were not always in the most comfortable places, but God always took care of them. I look back over my life, and while there were many comfortable places, God always took care of me, even when there was uncomfortable moments. Wherever you go, God takes care of me. It's like two American tourists. They were driving through Nova Scotia. I just threw this in for you, Jeff, for Kathy, and Liz. You there. They were approaching Shubenacadie. Shubenacadie. I can't even say it. Thank you. They started arguing about the pronunciation of that name. And I got it wrong. And they argued back and forth until they stopped for lunch. And as they stood at the counter, one tourist asked the employee, before we order, could you please settle an argument for us? Would you please pronounce where we are very slowly? So the waitress leaned over the counter and said, Tim Hortons. No matter where you go, God looks after you. Whether comfortable or uncomfortable places, God looks after you. Think of a moment. You all know a moment where you're in an uncomfortable situation and you just knew that God was looking after you. I don't even have to tell you about it because you know it. In Bible college, there's a thing called the Bible content exam. You have to take it before you can graduate. And they have three different exams. One, if you pass, great. You don't have to take anymore. But if you fail that first one, then they give you exam number two. If you fail that one, you get exam number three. I can tell you what's on all three exams. Because I failed the first two times. And I mean, you were only given three chances. And so I stayed up and I crammed. That's what Bible college students do. So how do you cram for a Bible content exam? You read through the Bible. So I read through the Bible. I read the Encyclopedia of the Bible. I read Haley's Bible Handbook. I read the Concordance and tried to memorize it. Don't even ask me how. But I tried everything, and all of a sudden, I went to a professor. Actually, it was more like he came to me because I was in class like this. And he said to me, Dad, what's wrong with you? And I said, I don't know, I've been trying to figure it out for a long time. And then I haven't been getting much sleep, because I've been cramming. He said, Dev, you will do better if you spend time with God, know he is with you, and go write that exam in full confidence that he has never left you, because you can't do that on your own. And I'm standing before you. I passed the third exam. Yeah. I think they just wanted to get me out of Bible college. That was the idea.
But you know of situations and places that God has taken care of you. You look back and you know of those times where you said, I'm not going to make it through this. I'm not going to come out of this. And you look back and you say, I made it. God said he will never leave you nor forsake you, never. And all through the Bible, God said, fear not, for I am with you. That really is the only basis that we need for not fearing. I don't need to fear God if I believe God. I don't need to know what God is going to do because he is with me and he knows what he's doing. I don't need to be afraid of people because God knows people. I don't need to be afraid of my relationship because God knows my relationship. I don't need to be afraid of my finances because God knows my finances. I don't need to be afraid of my health because God knows my health. God knows. I don't need to be afraid of rejection because I've got God's love. If you're a person who's tormented by a lot of fear, I suggest you take time studying the love of God until you get it. I don't mean just, Jesus loves me, this I know. But I mean, you know God loves you, and you get to the point where you can say with Romans 8, neither life, nor death, nor principalities, nor powers, nothing shall separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. No trial, no tragedy, no relationship, no financial burden. Nothing will separate me from God's love. God loves me. Joyce Meyer said this, you cannot walk in love if you do not receive the love of God for yourself, because you cannot give away something you do not have. Pretty good. God loves me. Adopt that. Don't murmur it. You know, a lot of us are all loves me. All of them. Yes, God loves me. Say it. God loves me. If you start doing that, something is going to take place inside of you, and you'll feel secure. You'll feel taken care of. You will see the fears taken care of in your life. The love of God only can drive out that fear that you have, that spirit of fear. You may think that everybody knows that God loves them, but that's not the case. There's a big difference between knowing it and believing God loves you. In fact, say it with me. God loves me. Say it. God loves me. Yeah, practice it. Say it again. God loves me. Put your arms around you, give yourself a big hug and say, God loves me. Come on. God loves me. Get it in there. And because God loves me, I can love me. In order to overcome fear, you have to believe that God is with you. But you also have to keep your eyes on God. If you look at this, verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Now, I like the way the New American Standard Bible puts this. Do not anxiously look about you. We're good at that. What's happening now? Where are you to look? I'm in danger, I'm in trouble. Where are you to look? Oh, yeah. It's not so hard. Well, wait a minute, this is difficult. We're walking through some pains, very trying moments in our life. We look at everything else. We look at ourselves, we look at other people, we look at our situation, we look at our relationship, we look at our families, we look at our checkbook, and we forget about God. And we neglect him. Keep your eyes more on God and less on our problems. See, those things which are hard for you now, those things which are pressing on you, if you hang out with Jesus, and I would even say in 1 year, you're going to look back and you're going to go, oh, that happened? Didn't even faze me. In fact, some of you are probably already this morning, you're already experiencing that. You look back in your life, and you say, oh, wow, 5 years ago, I was so unsettled. I mean, in our family life, I mean, you know, birth of children and everything, it was really hard for me. Your poor wife, you know. There's a great progressive work that is going on in our life that God just handles it if we just look to Him. He'll walk us through it. There's a cartoon that depicted a man getting his palm read by a fortune teller. I'm not saying go and get your palms read because I don't believe that, but she studied the man's palm and she said, you will be sad, miserable, poor until you're 30. Oh, and lamented kind of and rejoiced at the same time. What happens when I'm 30? And the fortune teller said, then you will be used to it. Your reaction, it's true though, but your reaction to the circumstances of your life has everything to do with your well-being and your success. It's how you look at it now and how you see it now. With what eyes are you looking? W. Clement Stone tells a story about a young bride who traveled with her husband to the California desert during World War II, and she'd grown up in the East, and the desert seemed remote, desolate place to her. It didn't make really any easier because the only housing that they could find was a real small shack in a tiny village where no one spoke English in this village, where nobody spoke English. And so she spent a lot of time alone, and she would be waiting out the sweltering heat just each and every day. Because her husband was gone for a long period of time, she just slowly just... Bleh. So she wrote her mother, and she said to her mother that she was returning home. And a few days later, she received this reply from her mother. Two men looked from prison bars. One saw mud, the other stars. And those words helped that young woman to see things more clearly. Maybe she couldn't improve her circumstances, but she could improve herself. And so she began to seek ways in which she could communicate with her neighbors. She began exploring the desert and her surroundings and discovered the God-given beauty all around her. And all of a sudden, it was like she was living in a whole new world. And the only thing that had changed was her attitude about it all. Maybe today you need a change. Not your surroundings, but in your attitude. The only way you can change is by looking to the author of change. Keep your eyes on Him. In fact, look what Isaiah says in verse 11. He says, all who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. If you keep your eyes on Him, He will deal with everything else for you. That's a promise. If you keep your eyes on God, He will deal with your relationship, with your financial picture, with your enemies, those who are against you, the things you don't have. God is going to look after all of it if you keep your eyes on Him. Focus on Him. Not your problem, not your pain, not your hurt, not your decay. Him. Focus properly. Well, the overpower of fear, you got to believe God is with you. You got to keep your eyes on Him. You got to trust in His strength and His help. Look at again at verse 10. Do not fear, I'm with you. You're not dismayed, I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you. Boy, where did I get that point from? I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Jump down a little bit to verse 13. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Look at verse 14. Do not be afraid, O worm Jacob, O little Israel, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Wow. How do you like being called a worm? We were in our first pastorate, and Joan was the secretary until she got pregnant by the pastor. And So she came in one, it was a Saturday, we always did the bulletin on Saturday, and so she would do this bulletin on Saturday, and I kind of stood behind the door to my office like this, you know, and she came into the office, and she said, Dev? I was like, this is me. Okay, we were pretty, I mean, new, you know, we've been married, I think, for 5 years, and so we're still, you know, still okay to do this. So I was hiding behind the door, and then all of a sudden she said, Dev, where did he go? You know? And so then she went to shut the door, and I went, hello! She looked at me, and she said, you worm! See, why is that in there? Why is the word worm in there? I think, that's what I think, even when I'm worming, don't do everything the way I should, God still helps us because he sees the heart. Even when I'm worming, you know? Doing what I shouldn't be doing? God still helps us out. Message Bible says, I'll hold you steady, keep a firm grip on you. God will hold your right hand. You ever felt this? Ever been in that place where you just had nowhere to turn? And then all of a sudden you felt him. You felt something. You didn't know what it was. But you felt him. Might have been just a warm feeling on your shoulder. Maybe inside. Might have been just a brush against you. I don't know. Maybe it was nothing. Maybe it's just that feeling, that sense somebody's here. You just knew he was there. It was a sense. It was a presence. It was his spirit. He had a hold of you, giving you strength while you hurt, giving you power to prevail as you were walking in tragedy. God, you knew, was there. Let me tell you, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God who walked you through such powerless circumstances in the past will powerfully walk you through difficulties and tragedies through the present and future. James Long said it well when he said this. He said, one reason God created time was so that there would be a place to bury the failures of the past. What do you need to bury today? What do you need to get rid of? Dig a hole and bury it. Put it in there like God look after it. Things that you're afraid of, you look back and say, God, you carried me through that. That same God will look after you throughout it all. God does that. He changes us daily, and God says, I'll help you through it. I'll be there with you. See me, he says. Question. Will you let him hold you? Now, before you answer, he wants to take your right hand, but before you answer, you have to let go of what you're carrying. You can't hold on anymore and believe in God. You can't say, God, I will believe you and then stop, step out believing. If you say that, step out believing. You see, we're good at saying, God, I believe in it. Whoa, I better just, he doesn't really understand this part because I understand them better. And, you know, we're great at believing what God has done. And not in believing what God will do. We let him hold you through your pain while you suffer. Will you allow him to? I want you to close your Bibles. I'm going to finish up. I'm going to finish with a story. It's a true story about the Meisners, Audrey and Bob to be exact. And they decided to pack their van, sleeping bags, suitcases, children, and drive 1,000 miles from Winnipeg, Manitoba. How many of you know where Winnipeg, Manitoba is? Very good. They went to visit the in-laws in Michigan. How many of you know where Michigan is? Long ways away. Beautiful trip for them. They spent time at the Mall of America, other sightseeing adventures with Grandma and Grandpa. They had a great time. Long weekend just went zoom. You ever had that? Zoom. It just goes. They said their goodbyes. They packed up the van and they headed for home. Left at 11 o'clock at night. Driving along. Bob started getting tired. Audrey, how about you take over? She had a little rest. It's her turn to drive. So Audrey took the driver's seat, and Bob, he clambered toward the back of the van, and he disappeared behind some sleeping bags, and he drifted off to sleep. Hour and a half went by. Audrey pulled into the rest stop,
quiet as you could, you know, that kind of roll out. Like, she let the engine idle. She noticed it must be missing a cylinder, and then she realized it was Bob snoring in the back. She used the restroom, got a little cup of coffee there. She climbed back into the van, stirred that coffee, took a long sip, pulled back into the freeway. 2 hours more passed. She arrived in Fargo, North Dakota. Kids began to wake up. Bob is zonked. Wow, he's tired, thought Audrey. She was thankful that she has still energy. She kept on going. Her 7-year-old appeared in the rearview mirror, rubbing his eye. Hey, Mom. Go to sleep, honey. She loved the quiet time. She kept driving. All of a sudden, the serenity of it all came to an end with these words. Hey, Mom. Where's Daddy? Audrey said, very funny. Back there sleeping in the back seat. So the children, they pushed aside the pillows, the sleeping bags, they looked for Daddy. Nope, said her 7-year-old. He's not here. You think he maybe got ruptured? You know, Mom, you've been talking about Jesus and he gets us and he ruptures us, you know? Audrey wasn't laughing. She was in full-blown panic. She pulled into a truck stop, she picked up a payphone, and she called the police. I left my husband in Minnesota. The officer said, are you sure it wasn't San Francisco? No, my heart is sounded anyway. So. She said, it was at a rest stop. And so she managed to convince this officer that this wasn't a joke. So he said, hang on. And he called all the rest stops in the area that she traveled in. Next voice on the phone that she heard was a thick accent. Yo, sure do have a guy here who's been deserted. And moments later, Bob was on the phone with Audrey. And the moment she heard his voice, she started bawling. And Bob laughed heartily. Now the rest of the story, Paul Harvey's going to love this. 2 hours earlier, Bob had climbed out of the van to use the restroom. Actually, more than 2.5. And when he came back, no van. He thought it was a joke that his family was pulling on him. So he thought they're around the next corner just grinning away. And so he walked all around. He walked along around the trust. He went up a few blocks, you know, ways up the road. He's looking around. Where are they? They're actually gone. Nowhere to be found. So to pass time, Bob spent the hours washing people's windshields and praying that God would speak very loudly to his wife, perhaps give her a flat tire or something. He even climbed in with a trucker who needed some spiritual encouragement. And the trucker said this, you know, this time with you was a divine appointment. I really needed this. Audrey said, it seems the only time I really learn is when there's nowhere else to turn but to God. You can get rid of the fear today. You can just hand it off, and he'll take your right hand. He promised it. And he promised to sit still. Let's pray. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, I don't know what God is stirring in your heart today, but maybe it's to just hand it over, whatever it is that you're concerned about. If it's your family, if it's your finances, if it's a relationship that you're walking through, if you fear intimacy, if you're fearing maybe even ministry, give it to him today. Let him deal with it. You can't carry it anymore. He wants you to know that he's there. He wants to take your right hand and walk you through this. He doesn't want you to do it alone. Will you believe him today? Will you trust him today? Will you focus on him today? Well, every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I'm going to ask you, if you're saying, God, I believe you, I focus on you, solely on you, and I trust in your strength and your help. Just lift your hand up. Every head is bowed, every head is closed. Just lift your hand. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless, lift your hand. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. God sees all those hands. Father, we just thank you that we have nothing to fear except you. We fear you, God, because you're such a wonderful God who loves and cares for us. And we fear, God, in out of reverence for you. That's why we come and we worship. We come to this place, the sanctuary, where we can just spend time with you. Lord, it's been good. It's been real good to know that you never leave us. You never forsake us. You're always there. You reach out your right hand and take ours. And Lord, you walk us. We're not to fear. And today, Lord, I just pray your blessing upon everyone who's here this morning. That Lord, as they walk through this week, that they would remember there's nothing to fear. That they would believe you. That they would keep their eyes focused on you. And Lord, they would trust in you. Put all trust in you for the strength and help they need each and every moment of their life. To you be the glory, God. To you be the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.